Are you a kingdom-minded person? Having a full understanding of who you are in Christ opens the door to a life of blessing. Join Kenneth Copeland and guest Bill Winston on today's Believer's Voice of Victory as they continue their teaching, Chosen of God.
Hello, everybody. I'm Kenneth Copeland, and this is the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. Let's have a word of prayer. We'll get right into today's Bible lesson. Father, we thank you and we praise you. Thank you, Lord, for sending Bill Winston to us on this broadcast. We receive his anointing. We receive the blessing that you put on his life for us. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Bill, God bless you, sir. Thank you. We don't knocking the food off of the table and everything else. That's good. Amen. We're talking about something right now that is so vitally important to God, is to transfer his kingdom, his wealth, his word, his power, his health, his everything. Because Jesus prayed this, Bill, and it's got to come to pass. Listen, this is big in him.
Yeah.
That he said, your will be done on this earth as it is in heaven. Now, he prayed it. It's got to come to pass. And to make this transfer, it doesn't just fall out here. He transfers it through his kingdom. Well, his kingdom is people.
It's people.
His kingdom is not just some geographical location. His kingdom's wherever I am. His kingdom's wherever you are. His kingdom is wherever he's king. Ain't that right? And so,
that's right. That's good.
I remember, this just comes up in my mind the first time I ever thought about it. It really shocked me down to my roots. When he sent Adam out of that garden,
yep.
Man, it's tough out there.
That's right.
Bill, that ground out there wasn't cursed, but it wasn't any good. Before
that's right.
He fell.
That's exactly
not
right.
After.
That's right.
Now, after he fell, the curse caused thistles and stuff started growing. But there wasn't nothing out there outside that garden. God didn't intend for him to go out there. He intended for that garden to expand as he needed it and as he exercised the blessing of his glory on it. And Adam was supposed to do this. Amen. Well, God ain't changed his mind.
Same deal.
It's the same thing. It's the same deal. If you belong to Christ Jesus, if you're in Christ, you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to his promise. What promise? To take the blessing and expand it. This is exactly where God is in the kingdom of God. You read it yesterday. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead. You be reconciled to God. God sent me here to tell you, I come in his authority. I come in his name. I come in his power. Now, wake up. Be reconciled to God. It wouldn't have been any more powerful if God himself had stood there and said, now, let me say this, Paul, because it'll have more strength if I said, no, it had God's power behind it. And that's where we are. Yeah.
And you know, he said, for us to imitate God.
Ephesians chapter 5.
But imitate God. Now, he's telling you how this is supposed to be done. That we're going to have to imitate God. And then he says over here, let's put something right here, Brother Copeland, and run over here real quick to Job chapter 8. Job chapter 8.
Bill, I just got corrected by the Spirit of God.
Go ahead.
Huh. Now, I said that wrong. The garden wasn't supposed to go out there first. Adam's supposed to go out there first. So he was destined to go out there
to produce and bring that thing to pass out there.
Yeah.
Make that
like this. instead of the other way around.
There you go.
And it was important for him to go
to do that.
But now when he got out there, he didn't have anything to take out there with him.
That's right.
But as we go, we have been reinstated into that blessing through Jesus Christ. And we're supposed to go out there in the thistles and the briars and the hard spots and take the blessing out there and kick that curse out and put
it in. And a lot of times we see that and don't want to quite go.
I don't want out there in them briars. But over a period of many years, my mind has been renewed to the point now to where, man, that's exciting news.
That's exactly right, Brother Cole.
I know something.
That is exactly right. Yeah. Well, let's look at this verse, because this, again, is part of how this blessing is functioning in our lives. It's Job chapter 8, and looking down here at verse 7. He said, though thy beginning was small, yet thy latter end should greatly increase. The Living Bible says it like this: though you started with little, you will end up with much.
Mm.
Now, this is more than a suggestion. This is part of the promises of God of how this thing works, that he's going to increase you more and more, you and your children. This is part of that blessing. This is how that thing works. And the blessing of the Lord, it makes it. My goodness. Mm. Joseph went down in the prison, like you said, with that blessing on him, and brought order out of chaos.
Yes, he did.
Yes, he did, to the point that the man put him over the place.
Yes, he did.
Man said, this guy knows something I don't know. And that's the way God's people ought to be everywhere they go. In the medical field, in the media field, in the educational field, in every field. So in every sphere, we are supposed to go in with a blessing, an influential power to convert those fields into a kingdom manifestation.
Yeah,
love and righteousness. Amen. And all of that supposed to be instead of hate and bribery and all of that. See, because they don't have anything else to work with. They don't have this. See, but once we go in there with that, he'll raise us up in there, not taking and just beating somebody over the head with the Bible, so you better get saved, you're going to hell. But the influence that we'll carry will bring us in. Joseph was a Jew raised up in Egypt. Pharaoh didn't know what? Daniel was a Jew raised up in Babylon. The only way he got raised up is because he knew something. And every one of us knows something. That every one of us has been gifted, not only gifted, but anointed.
That's right.
Praise God.
With orders.
With orders.
To go do it.
Yes, indeed.
Yes, sir.
And Brother Goldberg,
you know, the Bible said Jesus is called high priest after the orders of Melchizedek.
Mm-hmm.
Well, God ordered Melchizedek to go and bless
Abraham.
Now, that in the book of Hebrews, it says we are partakers of that calling. We are called to go. And then it says he is the high priest over the words we say when we go down there.
Goodness. Now, see, that's why I'm teaching now a little bit on royalty. Because he said Jesus is the King of Kings. And I found a scripture over in Micah that asked the question, is there no king in you? And this is God.
Oh, my goodness.
Because anyone that is in Christ becomes a new creature. What kind of creature? A new race. What kind of race? A race of kings.
Yeah.
Royalty. Well, if that be the case, there's a different way I got to act.
That's right.
A different way I got to sit. There's a different way I've got to believe. There's a different way I've got to speak. I can't be hollering out the car, hey, pay me my money. I mean, that is not royalty.
No.
So God is bringing us back into something where now when we come into a place, we know as ambassadors, as royalty, we're coming in with an entourage that you cannot even see. angels.
Praise God.
On assignment. Coming in with us, waiting on our words. Because thou shalt decree a thing, and it shall be established. Wow. Now, this is kingdom-minded, see, because when the devil said, Paul, I know, and Jesus, I know, but who are you? Because I can tell who knows who I am.
Amen.
Do you follow what I'm saying?
Oh, I do.
And I'm saying, in the face of kingdom-minded people, demons bow. They have to. Because they can see the entourage. But they know when a person doesn't know who they are. Like the I heard Brother Hagin or somebody was teaching him one time about putting on the full armor of God. That was you one time. And you said, when you pull that face mask down, the devil don't know the difference between you and Jesus.
It's God's armor.
But if you behind that face mask talking about, boy, my feet are killing me in this thing.
He knows that ain't God.
He knows that ain't God. So this is what I'm saying. When he's saying ambassadors, ooh, my goodness, we kind of read over that and kind of take it lightly and religiously apply it and so forth. Ooh, my goodness, that is a political
appointed
position.
Let's go back over there
position.
For a second.
Yes, indeed.
To that same scripture now in 2 Corinthians, because if you go right straight down that, we're ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, you be reconciled to God, for, because, he who knew no sin was made to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I have every right to stand here and tell the devil to do what he has to do.
Oh, my goodness.
I heard myself say to him one time, Satan, now I threaten you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you know that I have the right and the authority to do so. I adjure you. Well, that's what the word adjure means. I threaten you in Jesus' name, and I command you to desist in your maneuvers right now. Well, now, I can't turn around back off and say, I wonder if he quit.
No.
You turn around and walk away.
King doesn't do that.
No, king don't do that.
You know, the general, he gives an order, and he's gone.
He always.
Off to the golf course.
Yes, sir. And he and Denver Captain Winston carried out.
He doesn't look. So that's what I'm saying. If you come in with this mindset of kind of a democracy and I can vote and I can hold up a picket sign and all that, if you come in with that kind of mentality, it doesn't work in the kingdom. No. You got to let that go because that doesn't function well. Even your words don't have as much gravity in that reality. You got to come in with a mindset of a commander. And once you come in with that and speak like that, demons understand it. That's the revelation of Joseph back over there. Pharaoh said this, I'm going to put you in a second chariot. And what I'm going to do is every time you're riding with me and you pass people, I'm going to tell them to bow the knee. Ah, Lord. That's why I say the enemies bow in the mind of, in the face of kingdom-minded people because they know. They know who they represent. They can see the entourage. And that revelation of the entourage was when Elisha was surrounded by the Syrian army and that angels were surrounding the army. And could nobody see that but a person with faith? And I'm saying when the Christians don't walk in that kind of faith, we don't get that kind of results. Because faith, when you speak faith, you're speaking for the voice of God. And so we got to get that back in here. We kind of get a little bit and not do the meditation on this thing because the enemy is after revelation knowledge because he knows the other is it's not going to function to be able to manage.
Now, he's got somebody that'll badmouth you for you too, so you don't want to pay attention
in a minute.
I was preaching on being made the righteousness of God that Jesus never committed any sin, but he was made to be sin.
Oh, yeah.
I never committed any righteousness, but he made me to be righteous with the same miracle. And so I've been preaching on that. Well, there's a fellow wrote a song about it. that I'm the righteousness of God. And, man, it really thrilled me. And, I recorded that thing, you know, and put the record out there. And a bunch of Christian disc jockeys wouldn't play it.
Well, who do you think he is saying he's the righteousness of God?
I didn't say that. 2 Corinthians 5:17, 18, 19, 20, 21 said that. But I can't afford to listen to that. And I don't want to, well, you know, I don't want to upset anybody. Well, you're going to upset anybody. If you're going to, you are an upset.
That's
if,
right.
If you're going to be a...
That's right.
An ambassador for Christ.
And that's what Jesus said. He said, if they're going to like you, they're going to like you.
Yeah.
Not if you're telling them the truth. Because this world didn't want the truth in here. Truth will make the people free. And we've got a responsibility to do it. That's why he's making sure that our provisions come from him and not from the world.
Ooh, that's good.
So that we won't have
you're not
to,
dependent on
to depend on the world for anything. For anything. And that's what he wants it. He wants us to go out there and not even depend on them for joy. The joy of the Lord will be our strength. He not even depend on them for peace. My peace I leave with you, not as the world giveth. Not even depend on them for comfort.
The blessing of the Lord.
The blessing of the Lord maketh rich.
Yeah. And you're not blessed because you're rich. You're rich because
you're blessed.
And, that's and if you belong to Jesus, you're rich already. Indeed. You just need to find out
about
it.
Yes, indeed. So now let's just look at Isaiah chapter 55. Because this is also one of my favorite scriptures in here in developing this kingdom mindset. Because it is very important, because you can be born again. But if your mind is not renewed, it's interesting how that'll keep you from the blessings that should be manifesting in your life. Or in a person's life.
Well, and you have to stay in this all the time.
You really do.
You don't ever attain the top of this.
No,
you
sir.
Keep going all the time. It's just like we found out when we became professional pilots that you don't ever get trained. You have to keep training. You have to keep training.
Recurrent.
Train. Every time.
And I think physicians do that. They have continuing education courses, and they have to recertify and so forth and so on. All those things. Now, look what it says here starting at verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Now, if you can just stop right there. And this guy came to our church, and he was preaching from Central America. And he came and he preached about a man who went over to one of the Arab nations and he did some business from the United States. And as he finished doing the business, one of the royal family, they wanted to give him a gift. And it was some business having to do with some merchandise and so forth. And he said, no, that's okay. You don't need to give me anything. He said, no, we insist. It's our custom. We're going to give you. He said, no, sir. He said, we don't need anything. He said, but this is our custom, so forth. And the other guy told him, you can't offend him with custom. He said, okay, fine. He said, what would you like us to give you? He said, well, just give me a golf club. He said, a golf club? He said, yes. He said, okay, fine. So he left, came back to the United States. About 2 weeks later, had a knock on the door. Answered the door. The gentleman was there, very kind. He said, excuse me, are you Mr. So-and-so? He said, yes, I am. He said, my name is so-and-so. I came to take you to your golf club. Now,
I can see it coming.
18 holes, golf club house, everything. Now, he's saying, because your thoughts are not my thoughts.
Yeah, I see it.
Your ways are not my ways. The mind of Christ.
Here was a man.
Yeah.
In his thinking, money's no object. Here was a man thinking one golf club. When he said golf club, the man that has no limits on his thinking thinks golf club.
Yep.
Old country club. This fella would have accepted one stick.
Yes, sir.
I see it, man.
And when we got born again, God took the limits off of our lives.
Yes, he did.
That's why Peter could walk on water. God took the limits off of our lives. We're the ones that put the limits on our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't blame somebody. Because once you come in here, into the kingdom, the days of blaming others are over.
You got to take responsibility.
You got to take responsibility.
And your first responsibility is to the Word.
To the Word of God.
This is what Gloria and I learned first. I mean, once we made Jesus Christ the Lord of our life, now you ain't going to get anywhere if you do that, and receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit with speaking in other tongues. That's such an important thing. Jesus told his bunch, said, you don't go nowhere to get that. But now then, the next thing that was so important was this. You don't change the Word of God to fit your lifestyle. You change your lifestyle to fit the Word of God. And I remember it so well. She and I were talking about it last night. We were in a meeting. I was still a student there at Oral Roberts University in 1967. And we went over to Brother Hagin's place for a meeting he was conducting. And he made the statement, like I just got, put the Word of God first place in your life. Make it final authority. Whatever the Word says is right. Now you change your mind, you change your words, you change your life to fit this. And he said, anyone present that would like to make that commitment now, stand up on your feet. Boy, Gloria and I just shot up, man. I mean, we jumped up. We caught hands with one another. And we made that commitment before God. Whatever we see in your word, that is right. And out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, we don't just take some little something out and you know, make a deal out of it. We change over to that. Well, we committed to that. And then... we made certain commitments as we saw what the Word of God was saying. We committed to God that we would never ask a man for a place to preach. We'd go where God sent us. We would never preach based on a financial arrangement. That we would never ask people to meet our needs. We'd never ask them for money. Now, the Lord said, you receive offerings because that's scriptural, but you don't put pressure on the people. You give them the opportunity. So then a few weeks later, we came across the scripture that said, oh, no man anything but to love him. And I did choke me, Bill. I thought, dear God, what are we going to do with that? Well, here I am. I'm going to have to change my lifestyle. So we switched over to it. I asked Gloria, I said, what are we going to do with that? She said, well, that's what the book says. That's what we're going to do. Both of them just sad looking as we can be because we see how we're going to do anything. But when we made that commitment to put his word first place, that was the one that we learned the most out of because it got us off of that Babylonian system over to this. I had to have it to survive, man. I had to know this system. That is the next step. You gotta commit to the Word right there. You know when you did it?
Yes, sir.
I know when I did it. We're out of time. We'll be back in just a moment.
Jump into faith, hope, and love at the 2008 Southwest Believers Convention, August 4th through 9th at the Fort Worth Convention Center in Fort Worth, Texas. Join Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, Jerry Savelle, Jesse Duplantis, and Creflo Dollar. Special services also include Super Kid Academy for ages 6 through 12 and 1440 for junior high and high school. Call 800-600-7395 or visit kcm.org.
Every Friday is offering day on the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. There was a guy that published one time on the internet or something. I heard about it. He said, you know, that Copeland, he's the richest of them all. But said, reason he don't want to let nobody know that because it makes it harder for him to beg for money.
Well, Jesus said, the word says the nations will call you blessed. That's some of them don't like it, but they call you blessed anyway.
Amen.
No, I don't beg for money. And I'm telling you right now, if that's the idea that you have, then don't give anything. Mm-hmm. But you pray and you sow it somewhere. Mm-hmm. You sow into the work of God. Now, let me take you over here to the 6th chapter of the book of Galatians. Let him that is taught in the word communicate, or let him respond unto him that teaches. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. He that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Now, I was in a meeting where Bill Winston was receiving the offering, and he read that, and all of a sudden, the word of the Lord came to me, and the Lord said, when you have received, someone's been teaching the word, and that word has gotten down into your spirit. He said, if you will then sow, then the Zoe life will be brought up. You'll reap life out of that word that's in there. He said, if you don't sow to it, then your flesh will take it over and Satan will come and steal the word, and it'll go under corruption. So, Father, we pray over this offering in the name of Jesus. We release the blessing of the Lord on all of your people everywhere in the sound of our voices in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, outside the United States, your offering stays right where you are to minister to you. And you, hey, you know what to do. You go to church this weekend. If you're in anywhere close to Chicago, you get in there with Bill and Veronica Winston's church. Praise God. And we'll see you again next week. Bill's going to be with us all again next week. We're going to get right back in these things. Praise God. And the Lord's going to help us. And we're going to get deeper and deeper into the word concerning these things. And you remember that Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us today on the Believer's Voice of Victory. For more information on Kenneth Copeland Ministries or to order a copy of today's broadcast, log on to our website at kcm.org or call us toll-free 800-575-4455. Kenneth Copeland Ministries is here for you with teaching tools, prayer, and other ministry resources to help you live in faith and victory every day. This is the year of fullness of blessing, a time for you to receive the blessing without measure.